Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. With a guide, for nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Jinx anything, but so far so good. The John and Lance Show began and ended without a hitch. We're all in, of course. Weather was the big story, and affected us. Sean was on standby just in case I couldn't get in today. Thankfully for everyone, it appears we're just dealing with cold, not any ice. I don't know if. Or have heard of about any major power outages, so that's great considering the weather we're dealing with. So looks like we're going to make it through the day. We certainly got to 10 o'clock and no problem. So I know some people, maybe not just some, plenty of people are at home judging by how I got in this morning. And because of the notion that ice might show up at any moment, you know, black ice is the most dangerous of all the ices because you can't see it. I was driving slower than I should have. Like I was in the 60-mile-per-hour range for a lot of the drive when there was no one really on the road, and I could have certainly upped it. But I was like, you know what? Who knows when I will be surprised by the trickiest of ices. Thankfully, none of that happened. I hope everyone, even if you're at home, you're warm. And if you decide to listen to us, I appreciate it. But we're here. And one of the things that came out of this weekend from what I saw, a lot of people, not just – upset that the Texans weren't in the AFC title game and didn't have a chance at a Super Bowl, but the thought that they started their rebuild quicker than the Patriots or earlier than the Patriots and the Seahawks did, and those two teams are playing for the Super Bowl, and or at least in the Super Bowl, and the Texans aren't. I saw some of that, the regret, or how did these two teams already surpass the Texans when they got off to the better start? They had a young quarterback that people believed in, and yet you're still in the same spot you were in year one. So that happens sometimes where you look out across the landscape and go, hey, we thought we were in a great spot, and instead we've fallen behind. I think, as it's been talked about quite a bit, this particular year is going to be the one that bothers people the most, because if Drake May can emulate Trent Dilfer and make the Super Bowl, how come the Texans couldn't? Well, we saw it firsthand. Why? And it's one of the reasons Drake May gets to go to Super Bowl is because the quarterback in this town did not play up to even a subpar level. He was just flat out awful, somehow worse than Drake May. And the weather played a part yesterday to help the Patriots. And at the end of this year, I think it's going to be a year that we look back on, if we haven't already, and regret that the Texans didn't take full advantage of it. But as far as the game itself, we had a couple of things that we certainly can talk about. Sean Payton, of all people, should know better when it comes to taking the points. Take the points, man. You've got a backup quarterback. Honestly, I think that's what you might call feeling yourself a little bit. You got off to the 7-0 lead. You're moving the football again. You think this is going to be easier than maybe even you thought. Like, this is going better than I thought. We've got two sustained drives going. Let's go tack on another touchdown. When in reality, you should feel fortunate that you're in a position where you can go up two scores. Just take it. I don't know if Sean Payton was surprised by the weather later, but everyone knew that, right, it was going to get worse, much worse. You grab points when you can. And considering how your defense has played and the beat they had on the Patriots, just kick the field goal, man. You go up 10-0, and who knows? Of course, Jared Stidham played a part in letting the Patriots back in it. You can't predict that, but you can assume that the backup quarterback isn't going to be as buttoned up as your starter, particularly a backup quarterback who hasn't played since 2023. Take the points. And, of course, it's an awful play that didn't fool anyone. That's even maybe the worst part of it, besides the fact that you didn't kick the field goal and take the points. The play you called had absolutely no chance. So not only do you make the decision to trust your play calling and your offense, who's being led by a backup quarterback, and to be honest, the Broncos aren't that dynamic. Like, they're not the Seahawks. They don't have a Jackson Smith and Jigba. Hell, they don't even have a Kenneth Walker, who played great yesterday. We'll get into the Seahawks and the Rams. There's not a lot to look at when you look at that Broncos offense, the way their personnel stacks up, and goes, you know what? I know they got a go-to guy on this down that can get him a first down. If you're not picking up a yard run the football, I don't know what your go-to is other than hoping you get enough push to get a first down. So he runs a little play action, fools no one, and Jared Stidham has to get rid of the ball quickly. I did think it was funny that Broncos personnel and players on the sideline were vehemently signaling incomplete. Who cares? It's still going the other way. They're like several people going, no, that's incomplete. That's incomplete. It's fourth down. Who cares if it's incomplete?
And if it was an interception, because I think he threw an interception behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Like the attempted interception was like a yard or two behind the line of scrimmage. You want it to be intercepted.
Yeah, I don't. I think it was my head. I don't know exactly how it played out. Either way, yeah, why are you so insistent that it's incomplete? It
does not matter. Right. Got to get the call right.
He's on the ground. Speaking of getting calls right, you can
talk about it. Can't have Stidham lose confidence.
Okay.
That's for later.
Look, you're caught up in the moment, but it's fourth down. Who cares if it's incomplete? They're getting the ball anyway. Stidham. That was ugly. It was confusing because the official, Sean's referencing the play that was not a fumble. It turned out it was a backward pass, which is just the same as a fumble. People thought initially it was intentional grounding. They would have been able to punt the ball away. Instead, it's called a backwards pass. And once again, we have a question about not only the officiating, but the process as well of how they got to their decision. The Broncos are deep in their territory. They had nothing going. They were trying to throw a screen. The Patriots blew it up. And Jared Stidham, instead of initially throwing the ball away overhand, he double-clutched and then tried to push it forward. In fact, he got away with it earlier in the game, I believe, or maybe it was later in the game. I forgot. But he tried to push it forward again, and it was ruled initially incomplete and intentional grounding. After the booth called down, they said, actually, that's a backwards pass. And the whistle had blown, so the Patriots didn't get the result, which is them recovering it and running into the end zone. They got the ball at the point of recovery and eventually went on to score a touchdown. But Terry McCauley, who is now a guy who's going to talk about officiating on Twitter, he said the result of the Patriots getting the ball was correct, but the way they got there was wrong. Because with inadvertent whistles like that, if the whistle's blown and it's an inadvertent whistle, the Patriots shouldn't have been able to have a chance to recover it. It should have been a dead ball right there, Broncos football. But if they had initially ruled it the way it should have been ruled, they could have awarded the Patriots the ball after. But he said based on the announcement, they changed the ruling to backward pass on the field. But by doing that, it created an erroneous whistle, which would require the down to be replayed, and New England cannot get the ball. Had they stayed with their initial ruling, which was intentional grounding, replay could have reviewed and New England would have been able to get the ball because erroneous whistle rules would not apply. So if they had stuck with it, they could review it and then New England gets the ball. Instead, they said erroneous whistle, which means no one gets the ball. At least the Patriots don't get the ball. Replay the down. So Heat, like he said, the result finally is right. But the process, they screwed it up again. And they also screwed up the one drive that led to a score in the second half. Drake May did not get a first down. His helmet barely got to the line of the game.
Oh, yeah.
The ball certainly didn't get there. They got it wrong initially, and then they reviewed it and said, nope, play is upheld. And if you go back to last year, how did the Bills, or one of the ways the Bills lost that game, there was a tush-push situation. Josh Allen, the Bills thought they got it. A lot of people thought they got it. Turns out the officials ruled that they didn't get it, and they stuck with that call as well. And the Bills didn't get the benefit of the doubt or the benefit of a call. The Patriots did let to the last point scored in the game. 10-7 the final. The Patriots somehow, some way, make another Super Bowl. Their 10th since they started going to Super Bowls. The 10th in their last, 24 seasons or whatever the hell it is, they make it. So over the course of really a lot of people's, almost your entire adult life, but a lot of people's adult life, actually your entire life, not just your adult life.
Yeah,
but
definitely my entire adult life.
Definitely your entire adult life, but a lot of people's adult lives, it's been Patriots,
Patriots
Chiefs,
Invitational.
And then, oh yeah, the Broncos made it once.
The Patriots Invitational, the AFC.
Well, it had been the Chiefs Invitational. Following the Patriots Invitational. And somehow, some way, the Broncos got in once with Peyton Manning's dead arm.
Yeah, the Broncos were very efficient with how they slip in.
they got in twice. I'll take it back. They got in twice. One with Peyton Manning was
live
on top of his game, but the Seahawks ruined him from the jump. And then the other time, he had a dead arm, and they beat the Panthers.
Yeah, no. I mean this... The Stidham backwards pass was the moment I was like, okay.
This is a Patriots. When that happened, when the Patriots had nothing going and that play happens, they're going to somehow win this game.
I also love on CBS, they go to their rules analyst. I think there's this Gene Steratore.
Yeah.
And I think after every iteration of how they changed the call, there go that Gene.
He just
your
agreed.
Thoughts, and he's like, "Yep, I
got it right."
Yeah, got it right. Like the when it was intentional grounding. Yep,
got it right.
Got it right. When it was a back. Yep, got it right. It's so funny that nothing changed. Other than the referee's calls on the field, and Gene Steratore is like, "Yep, I'm seeing the same thing, guys. Yep, definitely keep me around for this job." That. Probably pays me millions of dollars, so I can just go, yep.
I agree with the on-field officials and the replay officials. Either way, a guy who's not being paid by CBS, Terry McCauley.
Keeping it real.
Said they screwed it up as far as process, but got it right.
Voice of the people, Terry McCauley.
That's right. The people were upset with him. And one guy named Wicked King took issue with Terry McCauley, and then Terry McCauley responded back, no. That's a replay rule, not an on-field rule. Then hit him with the real line. You do not know the rules better than I do.
Whew.
Terry McCauley ain't taking it. He's the Kevin Durant of officials.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought he was going to hit him with a pal or something.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, I know the rules better than you do.
I mentioned Kevin Durant because he had an interesting weekend. We'll talk about that at some point. The Rockets go into Detroit and win a game. There's a back and forth between Kevin Durant and a fan on the or at least courtside who had a Kevin Durant jersey, a Brooklyn one to sign. I guess he wanted Kevin Durant to sign it, but before that he had to get into a back and forth with him. The Rockets and the Pistons are the perfect combination of you want to talk bleep, you want to fight, we'll do that too. It was a lot of that. Jabari Smith and Ron Holland, Cade Cunningham threatened to beat up Jabari Smith. A lot of that going on, and in the meantime, the Rockets get a big win in Detroit. If we remember way back to the beginning of the year, it was their second loss of the season when they went 0-2, where Detroit came in to Houston and won. So we'll get into that. Also, there was some online discussion where a random, I say random because I've never heard of this person before, but apparently has a following on Twitter, called into question Durant's demeanor and the way he approaches basketball because the guy alleged that Kevin Durant's dad wasn't around. Kevin Durant, as you might imagine, promptly responded. So we'll get into that, too. We'll talk Rams and Seahawks, the actual good football game that occurred yesterday. It feels like we are going to watch a kind of something like we would call nostalgia. If you were nostalgic for the NFC beating the AFC's head in Super Bowls, I feel like we're going to get that. Of course, we got 2 weeks to really discuss it, but you had a competitive, entertaining football game, and then you had Patriots and Broncos. That's kind of what happened. So a lot to get to here. If you want to join us, number 713-780-3776. We're all here. If you want to call in, we'd love to have you. Sean and I, till noon, we will be back.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Another thing that come out of the Patriots win over the Broncos, my agenda still lives. A lot of people calling Drake the schedule May. And I think a lot of it's coming from Stafford people, at least on my timeline, who think Stafford's the MVP and he'll win it. He was like first team AP All Pro. He's going to win the MVP. But a stat that came from the Patriots beating the Broncos. The last four quarterbacks to win an AFC title game or a Super Bowl scoring less than 13 or less offensive points. Drake May yesterday, Tom Brady against the Rams, when Jared Goff and got tortured by Brian Flores, Tom Brady against the Rams the first time, and then there's another Tom Brady game in the AFC title game against the Steelers that led to the first Super Bowl win for the Patriots. The Patriots, in their history, have the last four quarterbacks to win one of those big games scoring less than 13 offensive points. I mean, great franchise, done a lot, but there is some fortune involved here, and it's sickening, honestly. Look, I know people have their trauma with the Chiefs. You believe the refs are involved. You think you think they've gotten there by hook or by crook. But the Patriots were the beginning.
Yeah, this can't be some sort of like generational gap. It hasn't been that long.
Yeah. People can't forget that the Patriots run became a thing because of the Tuck rule, right? Everyone remembers that, right?
Yeah, even if the Tuck, that's too far. Like, you remember the late 2010s. Like,
yeah.
They made eight straight AFC championship games.
They made a Super Bowl because a Chiefs off a defensive lineman did D-Ford line up all sides?
He lined up all sides.
That game was over. That game was an incomplete pass. The Chiefs are going to run out the clock. That game was over until D-Ford was off sides. So, yes, remarkable run. But there are so many things that if they go one way or the other, let's just say it's less remarkable. So I get it. Yeah, can't stand the Chiefs. Understood. And here in this town, the Chiefs have taken things you think you had a chance to win. So have the Patriots, by the way. You've lost some playoff games to the Patriots, too.
Way more, actually. Yeah.
Stop it. They are the first in the last 20 years of these dynasties that could have gone one way or the other just if a play or call went against them. And yet, they're back again. It's actually worse because they've done it with two different quarterbacks, two different setups, two different builds, and they're back here again.
Yeah.
After what? 3 years? Like 2 years of being awful and like 4 or 5 years of not being a real contender, and they're back.
Yeah.
Like they even made the playoffs under Mac Jones.
Yeah, right? I don't know if the word offensive is correct. Is it more
bothersome
that this Patriots team doesn't even, like, the thing with Drake May is, like, he hasn't really, like, taken the next step in any of these games. He just made a Super Bowl. Like, it's not like Jaden Daniels last year. He's doing a competent job,
yeah,
I guess.
I didn't watch a lot of Patriot games because they weren't playing a lot of teams that you wanted to see them play against.
Yeah, they played the
worst schedule.
The Saints every week,
yeah,
somehow.
Yeah, it felt like that. So I wasn't watching a lot of it. So maybe Drake May was very impressive. But the Drake May we're watching here, this isn't doing much. Like, he was getting MVP chance in that building yesterday. For what? And this is what we've seen for 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
He has been a very average to below average quarterback who's benefited from turnovers. And sure, he made some throws against the Texans, but okay. It was more Butte who made the great catch. But still, this has been what we've seen so far. And look, it is only a regular season award. But if it was a postseason award, that MVP thing would have been dead and buried after like game one of this postseason run. But he'll probably finish second to Matthew Stafford, and he'll be congratulated. But most importantly for him, he's in a Super Bowl. And he did let it be known that he went rogue yesterday on the play that sealed the game on the bootleg. That was just supposed to be an outside zone. He kept the ball, didn't tell anyone,
wow,
and ran for first down. So his legend will grow now.
Wow. And also, Josh McDaniels, any credit you got for calling that play? Yoink.
Yoink. You might have thought Josh McDaniels was a brilliant. I don't know what Tony Romo said. I kind of mute him.
He literally said it was a gutsy call, where I'm like, I don't know if it's a gutsy call.
I mean, all he has to do is fall down. They're still going to pretty much run the clock
running at least.
Yeah, just don't go out of bounds if you're not going to get a first down. But Drake May told everyone, actually, I made that play. So that out of Josh McDaniels' pocket as well.
But like generally when like young quarterback, highly drafted guy like makes the Super Bowl, there's an element of like it's going to be 2 weeks of kind of a like, oh, yeah, coronation. And, like, look, he's one of the top five guys now. Like, is he better than Burrow?
No, not this guy. It's going to be 2 weeks of...
All right, sure.
Carried.
Yeah,
he got carried to the spot.
I feel more ready to coronate Sam Darnold.
He showed up in the big game.
He answered questions.
He went bar for bar with Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
And came out on top as the Seahawks, who were kind of an afterthought in the division to start the year. You had the 49ers and certainly the Rams and, Mike McDonald's there. They weren't bad last year, but Sam Darnold's in here. He struggled late. In fact, his final game as a Viking, he peed all over himself against those Rams in a wild card round game. And look at him now. He's gone to the Super Bowl. He had a great game. And the Seahawks got a big time stop late where it felt like the Rams were just going to score again and take the lead, and all of a sudden in the red zone they got stops. One of the bigger plays in the game earlier was a Tariq Woolen taunting call, which kept the Rams drive alive, and they went on to score a touchdown in the next play. So he was one of the guys who would be a storyline. He got yelled at by anyone who has any type of following on Twitter. Everyone decided Tariq Woolen was the guy they were going to take shots on, because NFL people, the one thing they cannot stand is someone they think they can call selfish. And Tariq Woolen's actions, according to everyone, were selfish. And, in the middle of a very hotly contested football game with everything on the line, if you don't act perfectly and you do one thing, and look, it's a dumb thing to do, certainly, but it was like, I can't even use the word I was going to say, you dummy, how could you do it? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it was not great, but the reaction to it was like Tariq Woolen, maybe the dumbest football player I've ever seen. It felt like that was the reaction to the play.
I'm closer to being on Tariq Woolen's side of like, I feel like what he did kind of happens after every failed third down pass.
Someone's
woofing
locked
at the
up
sideline.
And they're woofing. And sure, it was a big moment in a big game, but do I think the reaction, particularly from people who got the tweet about it, was over the top? I think so. Look, obviously, big play, and then, of course, it gives us the touchdown. So everyone's like, see, you got your comeuppance. I know everyone's enjoyed for whatever reason.
It's a neat little side plot in this, what was shaping up to be an awesome game. Yeah. It's like, Tariq Woolen, the hubris, the hubris of Tariq Woolen.
And then you pay for it on the next play. It was
immediately.
Like, you deserved it. Yeah. I was like, all right, man, I don't know. Look, dumb play. It added to the theater of the game. And then I guess after the game, Tariq Woolen went over to shake hands. I don't know if he apologized to Sean McVay, but he did go over
to
talk to him.
He must have said something crazy to get a flag.
The referee, I think, initially said, hey, cut it out. And then he kept going. So that's why he got the flag. But I mean, it's a football game. You're in the middle of it. You're losing your mind. You make a great play. I don't know if it's a question of, wouldn't question his character on it. It's just, hey, it's dumb.
Yeah, don't be doing that.
Yeah, but
you put yourself in the position to
allow Puka Nacua could hit you with the stutter and go, and then caught, and you give up a touchdown. But everyone was like, that's what you get. I was like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess.
Yeah, it's like not great.
Yeah, I mean, but are you a little emotional about a game that you're just simply watching? It's not even your favorite team's playing. You're just like, yeah, damn it. If a Seattle Seahawks fan was upset, okay. But if you're just a what should be a neutral observer, I just take it as, hey, that was fun. That was a fun little sequence. Yeah. I move on.
Hey, what? Again, like, it's a little side plot in this game that we're going to talk about. It's like the Tariq Woolen kind of whatever two-play sequence where he's the most important man alive.
for like a minute and a half. Tariq Woolen became the biggest story in football until, you know, the rest of the game, like, happened and Seattle wound up winning.
Like, if that happened in the Super Bowl, he would just be like the most famous person in America for, again, a minute and a half.
Sure.
Like, he would be the most, until the peanut M&M shows up in one of the commercial breaks.
Yeah, I know.
He's the most famous person.
I mean, if it happened the first half, until Bad Bunny showed up for his performance, yeah.
Yeah,
Tariq Woolen,
yeah.
We have a conversation about him costing his team a touchdown. But you know what? Doesn't matter. It's all forgotten. See Seahawks go to the Super Bowl. What is that, the third time in a little over a decade now for them, right?
20-ish years, right? 05? Oh, the fourth time.
I was talking about the two with Russell Wilson, but yeah, you go back to the Hasselbeck year. Yeah.
13 and 14, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a little bit more dispersed when it comes to the NFC Super Bowl participants as far compared to the AFC, but Seattle's one of those teams. You go four times in like 20-something years. It's not a bad run. Once every 5 years.
Hasn't it been like in the Super Bowl basically every NFC, or not every NFC, but like, I don't know, probably 10 of the 16 NFC teams?
Well, you think about it. The NFC South has had everyone make it the last, I don't know when the Saints-Colts Super Bowl exactly was, but like in the last 20 years, the NFC South has had every one of their teams make it.
Yeah.
NFC East, just the Giants and the Eagles. It's only two.
Yeah, I was going to say Cowboys and Commanders.
The NFC West, everyone has made it.
Yeah.
49ers, Cardinals, against the Steelers that 1 year.
Yep.
Of course, Seattle, and then the Rams. In AFC North, Bengals, only team not doing it is the Browns. So it's kind of been dispersed. You've had...
Well, the NFC North.
AFC North.
Yeah,
North.
It's just Vikings haven't in the 21st century.
And the Lions. The Lions have never made a Super
Bowl. Forgot about the Lions.
Yeah, the AFC North has had everyone but the Browns. So yeah, as far as like winning the thing, the AFC has had the Chiefs and the Patriots.
They have the two dynasties, so it's a bit tough. But going, if you're an NFC fan, you get to...
Yeah, you got a real shot. I'm trying to think. Outside the Lions and the Vikings, as you said, you got a real shot to make it unless you're a Commander or Cowboy fan.
Yeah.
The Commanders were one game away last year.
For as much flack as the NFC South gets every year, they've all made a Super Bowl pretty recently.
Pretty good turnout for them, or as far as making appearances.
Yeah.
This year, they must be nice. Yeah, well, we don't know anything about it. Hell, the city would like an AFC title game.
Yeah, I mean,
we'll take that.
If you're in the NFC, it's just like
you get a free pass.
Yeah,
spin the wheel. It's your turn.
It's a democracy.
Yeah, there's no Pat Mahomes and Tom Brady.
Yeah, hell,
Peyton Manning was in the AFC for 20 years and was involved, and of course made it a couple times with the Broncos, and now Drake May in the Super Bowl.
But, 80 allowed 80 something passing yards. I will say. I did have the thought in the fourth quarter, we can't let like the story of this game be like, oh, it was a blizzard, no one could throw the ball. No. First quarter or two and a half quarters.
He was bad in the first two and a half quarters.
And I'll lump in Stidham too. Stidham was on.
Yeah,
he started falling apart before the weather.
That's
like,
true.
This, like, we can't let the, like, oh, it was weather, how are you supposed to do anything? Nope. There's a half and a quarter. Or half a quarter.
Yeah, the Patriots had the ball almost like, what, 9 minutes in the third quarter?
They did the laps where it was like legitimately, I don't know, 20 minutes of real time where it goes from, you know, fine cold game to snow on the ground, superimposing hash marks.
And what I found out, we do What Have You Learned with, we'll go to break here, but What Have You Learned this weekend on the John Lance Show. What I've learned is, another thing I learned at least was, someone got to the CBS production crew and told them, hey, this superimposing thing actually makes the viewing experience worse. Get that out of here. beat it. I mean, it reminded me of what the 70s and the 80s when I watched old broadcasts before we actually had the first down line to make. Like, it looked like one of those things where you put the two guys in front of a green screen and you know it's bad superimposing. That's what it looked like. I was like, hey, you know what? I would rather not know where the 50-yard line is if this is the version I'm going to get. It's just distracting.
Or do it how they used to do, like, the score for old-timey games. Or, like, just flash it every couple plays before the play. That. Just flash it, take it down, just so I'm like, okay, they're on their own 32 or at the 50.
They did that for a couple series, and then someone was like, hey, no one likes this right now. Beat it. And they thankfully got rid of it.
It's on Nance to let us know. And even Nance, there's a punt where he's like, I'll be honest. I don't know. I have no idea where that went.
Yeah, it was like one of the Patriots' bad punts. It was the last chance the Broncos had a chance to tie the game. I think it landed like the Patriots' 33-yard line. Of course, the Broncos don't like gain like 3 yards or whatever they did.
Yeah, and, no. There's a two-handed push pass to the running back where Tony Romo, it was a rare Tony Romo in Troy Aikman mode of just like kind of fed up with this quarterback. He's like, you should just thrown it away. Yeah. Like, this is worse.
It wound up with a about a 40 something yard field goal that a guy they called up just for the game, like Leonard Taylor, blocked it. They thought he just missed it, but then when we saw it again, it was tipped by Leonard Taylor, the defensive tackle for the Patriots. That kick was online, looked like it was going to go in. That was the Broncos' final chance. Of course, Jarrett Stidham threw that awful pick to Chris Gonzalez.
He was itching to throw that.
Yeah, he needed to get that one out of his system as the Patriots win, and they're back in the Super Bowl. So that's just great. Great, great, great for everyone.
Can't wait to hear the 2 weeks of, like, how Mike Vrabel in 1 year turned this around.
Mike Vrabel, I don't remember the exact circumstance, but he went on Bussin' with the Boys and said he'd cut off his penis if they made a Super Bowl. He said it back in 2019. I don't know if he said it with the Titans or specifically that year, but hey, what are we doing, Mike?
Yeah, well, let's run back the tape.
Make sure. Let's see if there's an out for him. Otherwise, let's go. Someone needs to ask that question. Hey, Mike.
Oh, at media night?
Bussin' with the Boys. I know they're going to be there. Someone's got to definitely ask. Yeah, he's got to answer that question, along with Drake May having to answer the question about shirts being printed out that say gay for May. If you don't know, that's an undercurrent in the Boston area. There are people buying shirts that say gay for May. By the way, Drake May, staunchly Christian. Don't think he's going to take part in that particular aspect of the fandom. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll get to some Rockets. They played an entertaining game in Detroit. They won it, and Kevin Durant had an interesting couple days during the game and then afterwards where he had to deal with the internet, which is something he likes to do. We'll get to that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So, Rockets beat Detroit in Detroit. Nice bounce back after losing to the Sixers. They get that one, as I said very early in the show, that way back in the beginning of the year, they lost a game to Detroit where Detroit just kind of out-physicaled them. Jalen Duren, I think, got thrown out of that game for his actions. I don't know if it was on Amen Thompson, but that's what Detroit's about. They love to play physical basketball. It's part of what J.B. Bickerstaff wants from his team. In a way, very similar to what Ime Udoka asked for. Detroit has plenty of dudes who don't mind talking. That happened on Saturday in the game. I'm trying to think of who all was involved. Like, you had the, hey, isn't it nice that Amen and Asur are playing against each other? You had the back and forth, because I guess in an interview, Asur said he weighed a couple pounds more, so Amen's a little brother. You know, that was a story that the media wanted to talk about. You also had the story of Kate Cunningham calling Jabari Smith words I can't repeat and pretty much saying I'll fight you. Oh, and walk away. Threw the B word at him as well. In other words, that the B word is probably the kindest word if you want to read lips that was said in the back and forth. There are other things that probably just belong on an NBA court, but that's what the Pistons are about. But the Rockets did beat them, and they got out early, and, you know, it was competitive. The Rockets had a nice first quarter. The Pistons fought back and tied at the half. But the Rockets jumped out to the third, had a great third, but the one thing they have a problem with is closing out games. So that appeared again. I don't know if that's ever going to not be a thing, because right now you are 43 games into the season, and closing games, playing well in the fourth quarter, continues to be a problem. It was a problem against Philly. It was a problem against the Pistons. But you had enough because of what you did in quarter three to hold them off. Of course, Durant's in the middle of an MVP-type season. We'll see if he gets there. But another 32 points last night, or excuse me, a couple nights ago. And he has been everything they wanted him to be. He plays all the time. He's having a great year. And at this point, he's kind of their saving grace. If they need a bucket, they know who to go to. Now, Alpi's on the floor. They'll give him opportunities. But I don't know if anyone feels more comfortable with anyone getting the ball other than Kevin Durant. I think if it's tight, go give it to the guy who can get his own shot at any point, and also can create for others if he so chooses. So he was, of course, a high scorer, and they leaned on him, 32-7 for him. And a good bounce back for him, because he turned the ball over a lot against the Sixers, did not turn the ball over once, a plus 18. Could you have asked for more for him? 41 games out of 43 played. Heavy workload, and that has been a conversation, and he was asked about it because people are surprised. When you're his age and you think the Rockets have all this depth, you think he's going to be a guy who wouldn't be playing 1 minute less than his career high in minutes. But he was asked about it and had an answer I think everyone would like, because he's aware of his importance. Here's Kevin Durant on his minutes workload so far this year.
How do you feel, you know, this year you've logged a lot of minutes. How do you feel in your body feel?
I feel great, man. That's what I get paid to do, man. And you're paid $50-some million to be available and play, you know, and be there for my team whenever they need me to be there. So it's on me to prepare the right way so I can be ready for 40-plus minutes. You know, I'm preparing for 48 minutes a night. So if I fall under that, I mean, you know, I'm cool, you know what I'm saying? But I get that people are concerned because of my age, and I've had some injuries in the past, but I feel solid, and coaching staff has been doing a good job of, you know, the rotations. And then when I'm in a game, too, you got players that can handle the ball, that can guard, too. You know, I'm not out there doing everything, you know. So I feel good when I'm playing, and I want to play more. I don't want to miss games. I want to play more minutes. I just want to help the team as much as I can, and me being out there helps the team.
Right now, 50, 40, and 89. That's shooting over 51% from the floor, over 40% from three, and 88.5 from three. From the free throw line. Yeah, up that free throw percentage. We can get a 50, 40, yeah, 90 season out of you. What are you doing?
Bum.
He's played over 39 minutes the last 10 games. So The minutes load has increased, actually, not decreased, over what it has been all year. I mean, could you do a little bit more? I mean, you want to get it so I can repeat the 50, 40, 90 thing as we try to get you an MVP in your age 37 year?
Yeah, make a couple free throws.
Yeah, I mean, why are you missing so many free throws? If you had made that free throw against the Thunder early in the year, now look, where would you be? Where would you be? Closer to 89%.
Yeah.
But all nonsense aside, he's been great.
I do like the idea that, like, actually, like, if you would have been told that a little bit more than halfway through the season, like, this is the Kevin Durant you'd get, you would look at the minutes and be like, ooh.
Yeah, you would. Oh, that's
the minutes, it's like, yeah, we're getting too much availability out of this guy. Like,
yeah, is he going to have enough on the back end in the playoffs? He's going to be available.
Games played. You're like, God, this guy plays all the time.
Ime, you want to fit in a rest day? Give him a couple.
Yeah, come on. They have to have, like, I don't know, the Wizards or something coming up.
Yeah, where he doesn't have to be out there. They got the Grizzlies tonight. I think the Grizzlies are going to be able to make it. Their last game was postponed because of the weather. Haven't heard anything that would keep them from playing in this one.
Is it in? Oh,
it's here.
I guess they're in Memphis, though.
Yeah, so we'll see.
That's the problem.
Yeah, Houston, all we got is cold as opposed to real weather conditions that might hamper a flight. So that one still is on for the night as the Rockets, who have been dominant at home, 15-3, try to get another one against the Grizzlies team. That won't have the great Santi Aldama. Actually, he's a game time decision. Let me take that back.
Okay.
They won't have Ja Morant, Scottie Pippen Jr., Zach Edey, and of course, ever missing Ty Jerome. So,
of course, Ty Jerome
won't be available as well.
The NBA hasn't felt the same this year.
Yeah, you know, Ty Jerome had that one series against the Heat last year where everyone's like, "Oh, look at Ty Jerome."
He made himself a lot of money. Sure did.
Not playing though, but made himself plenty of money. The Rockets will see that team tonight here in town if weather doesn't keep them from getting here. So a real shot to get another win. And Kevin Durant, I imagine, if he'll play 37 minutes again, because that's just how it'll be. I would hope, as a 10.5-point favorite, maybe we keep it under 35 tonight, although he doesn't mind.
That I like this for games against the ilk of the Memphis Grizzlies. Can we set the over-under of minutes played for Kevin Durant at 35 and a half.
Normally you don't have minutes restrictions associated with opponent, but I think in games like this, Ime Udoka should set a minutes restriction of like 34 minutes.
Yeah. Like if it takes more than 34 Kevin Durant minutes to beat the Memphis Grizzlies, you deserve to lose.
Yeah. If you got to take him out and you blow a lead, well, you brought it on yourself.
That's
how it is. You knew going in, he only played 34.
Yeah.
He's going to sit down. In fact, I don't even want to be tempted. Go to the locker room.
It's a teaching moment for the other Rockets.
Close out the Grizzlies.
Yeah. Be up 20 in the fourth quarter.
Don't let Jaren Jackson and what's his name? I forgot. It's a rookie.
Cedric Coward?
Don't let Jaren Jackson Jr. Cedric Coward drag you into a clutch game in the fourth quarter. Yeah. Enough. They don't even have Santi Aldama, maybe, tonight. What are we doing?
They might not have Santi Aldama.
Let's not make this a thing where we're dealing with the Grizzlies in a clutch situation where you need to execute down the stretch. It should not be a thing. That's what I'm asking for. Not much. Just take care of the Grizzlies so Kevin Durant can be waving on Josh Okogie.
Yeah.
At the end of the game.
Hoodie up.
Yeah.
You know,
towel inside on his neck.
Yeah, towel inside completely.
Maybe chatting with the Rocket fan behind him who isn't yelling at him unlike the Piston fan
did.
Yeah,
let's keep it clean, folks.
Yeah, if you did not see that part of the game, the game within the game against the Pistons, Kevin Durant got into a back and forth with a Pistons fan who had a Kevin Durant Brooklyn Nets jersey slung over his shoulder. So maybe not a Pistons fan.
That's NBA fanhood in 2026. Now.
Kind of. Like, I'm going to talk trash to this guy while having his Brooklyn Nets jersey.
His old team's jersey on my shoulder.
Yeah, not even the team not even the Thunder or the Warriors. It's a Nets jersey. I guess maybe he likes the colors black and white or the number 7. I don't know. But he and Kevin Durant got in a back and forth. He said something about a foul call or it wasn't a foul. Kevin Durant pretty much said, shut up. That's the clean way of saying what he said. It was a lot more than that. And, you know, John and I talked about it this morning. Like, hey, Kevin, do we need to do it? And I would say, yes, Kevin Durant does. It appears he does. If he's going to go for the 27 points per game, 40% from three, 50% from the floor, I will allow it. If I have to choose one or the other, either Kevin Durant gets to talk to fans that way or his performance lessons, I'll take it. It's just a guy who's not even a real basketball fan, just there because he's got courtside seats.
Yeah,
let him talk to him the way he wants.
Yeah, sometimes those guys need to be told to,
Yeah, get off my, you've been on my all day.
Yeah.
Get off my,
yeah.
That was part of the conversation.
So, you know. We really have gotten the full Kevin Durant experience, like much more than I thought we would be getting, like the availability.
This is a line from a fan. We don't know what he said before. This is what was caught. He didn't foul you, ball don't lie. Release yourself from my D. I don't think I've ever heard
release?
It put that way, which I have to applaud him for.
Yeah, innovation.
That is a great turn of phrase. Release yourself from my D. Oh, are you? You know what?
All right.
No complaints.
All right.
If you want, if you are as eloquent in the way you tell a guy to get off your, it's release yourself. You know what? Applauds.
You got this one.
You got this one, KD. That's not the only thing he did over the weekend. As I said earlier, parent, I don't know this account, but this account caught it from a lot of people because of his assumption about Kevin Durant. He used what he thought was Kevin Durant's perceived lack of a father in his life to speak to how Kevin Durant conducts himself on the court and off the court. And Kevin Durant responded with, and I'm going to use the word this time, ignorant bitch. Kevin Durant was the only one to take shots. I think the people who roll in that NBA world were, they're aware of maybe accounts with big followings who are maybe more troll-like than actual news-based. Everyone got on him. It was a complete pile-on, and it was helped by the fact that Kevin Durant responded. You know, someone responded, hey, Kevin Durant's dad has been at his games. What are you talking about? And, of course, Kevin Durant wasn't going to have it. So that happened. You had the online version of Kevin Durant and also the on the court. And not that dissimilar, honestly, when he's talking to people who cross him. So, but all we care about for the most part is lighting the Pistons up and getting a win in Detroit. All right, we'll go to break with that. Rockets, Grizzlies tonight. As they try to put together a couple wins and get consistent performances as we move forward. And we will see if we can avoid a clutch game against the lowly Grizzlies. That's all I'm looking for.
Yeah, I don't need them to answer their clutch offense questions tonight.
Yeah,
I prefer not to, actually.
Prefer for that muscle to not get exercised.
Yeah, no new information on how they handle a close game.
You know, like the 13th data point, I don't need a data point here.
We're good.
Let's win by 15 to 20 and go about our business, and we'll move on. All right, we'll close that hour one with that. We'll come back with more. Of course, you can join us, 713-780-3776. Apparently, all that discourse about the former Texans OC did not reach certain portions of the NFL world because someone is still hireable. I'll give you that news when we come back, and we'll certainly talk more football as we go forward. But first, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. You may be at home because it's cold and your business said, hey, you know what? You can stay home. Be safe. And that means you might have time to wander. And you're thinking to yourself, you know what would be great? A new car. Place to go to find that new car is Monument Chevrolet. Go to the website. Maybe you're not going to get out today because of the weather. You can certainly go to the website. It's monumentchevrolet.com and check out the great deals on great vehicles, whether it be an Equinox. They've got a deal you can check out on the website right now. Or maybe you want a truck. The Silverado is something you've been interested in, whether it's the 2500 or the 1500. They've got, or an EV vehicle. They have Silverados in multiple ways. Find the car you want or the vehicle you want, and then find the deal you want, and then head out there. They're in Pasadena. They're off of Bellway 8 and 225. And remember the name Jeff. I say that name because he's going to be your point person. Any questions you have, ask for Jeff. I talked to him over lunch, and he said, that's what I want. If anyone has any questions to ask about Monument Chevrolet, ask for me. Ask for that name, Jeff, and it'll get you sorted out. So that's the type of service and the type of people they are. They want to be at the forefront of a great car buying experience for you. So whether it be Jeff or one of the great salespeople, you're going to meet people who are working for you, not for themselves, to get you into a great vehicle. So that website, once again, is Monument Chevrolet. They're in Pasadena off of Bellway 8 and 225. Find the deal and the price, and the car you're looking for with them at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.